Says the Alter Rebbe, these two differences are actually interconnected and interrelated. The love to a sibling is part of who you are. It's part of your makeup. It's not created. It's not new. It's inherent to you. Just as you don't get excited about yourself, you don't get excited about your brother and sister, although there's a powerful love. The relationship to a wife, to a husband is something new. This is another human being. The delight, the pleasure is from something that's essentially alien to you. And you craft and mold the relationship. This is a whole new dimension, a recreated relationship and love. And therefore it has the power of newness, the power, the drama, the excitement, the intensity is of a whole new area. It has a supernatural energy and drama to it. Huh? Didn't Esav hate Yaakov? Yaakov and Esav are a parsha b'fnei atzma. Well, let's talk about our own brothers and sisters. Oh, you don't want to talk about that. In a healthy dynamic, brothers and sisters get along. Even if they don't get along, they get along. And everybody knows that ultimately, at times, a person was telling me the other day, had very difficult times, marriage didn't work out and so forth. He says, ultimately, he went back to family. Family is a force that's there. You know, friends can come and go, you can have the buddy that you trust and he trusted you, and then it's possible there should be a breakup. A brother, a sister doesn't go away. Even if he goes away, he doesn't go away. You share such powerful common denominators. You share such a powerful past and so forth that ultimately a person always can draw energy from there and fall back there. Although we don't live, you can't live, usually you don't live with your siblings. With a family you live, with a wife you live. But it's a silent love that's there. It's a silent relationship that doesn't go away. Huh? Says the Alter Rebbe, in the Jew's relationship to his soul and to his God, there are also these two levels. Shlomo HaMelech says, "Koil doidi deifik pischili achoisi rayasi." That fateful night when the bride is searching for the groom, al mishkavi balelois. My beloved one is knocking on the door. Pischili, open it up for me. Achoisi, my sister. Rayasi, my wife. Yoinasi, my dove. Tamasi, my complete one. Hashem calls the Jew my sister and my wife. There are two levels in the relationship between Hashem and the Jew, between the bride and the groom, between us and our souls. There is the sister relationship, there's the wife relationship. There is the spouse relationship. The spouse relationship means we don't know Hashem. I grew up in one home, the woman grew up in another home. The husband and the wife are not intrinsically connected. They come from two backgrounds, two families, maybe two cities, two countries. And then you begin get to know Hashem. You begin encountering Him. You begin thinking about Him, dreaming about Him, communicating with Him. And a passion is created, a relationship is formed. A bond is achieved. Rayasi. This is the Ava V'Yira Sichlim. Where the Jew is essentially estranged. The Jew exists in a mundane physical world. Bogged down by an animal soul, by an egotistical perception. But he recreates himself. This inspiration has a very powerful intensity to it because it has been created by him. It has the drama of newness, of his own accomplishment, of his own creation. He introduced a new force and it permeates the totality of his personality from his mind, through his heart, all the way to his behavior. because it has been created. And when it's created, it permeates you, it penetrates you. It's part of your system. This is a holistic approach. Then there's a chaisi. A chaisi is you are always a sister and you'll always remain a sister. Whether you like it or not, whether you know about it or not, whether you think about it or not, even if you despise her, you're still her brother. It's also a relationship. This is the Ava Mesuteris. There is an intrinsic love. The fact that you were born a Jew, there is an experience of godliness within the Jew, there from the day of his birth till for all of eternity. It's irreversible. It doesn't change, but it's very deep. It's even deeper than the previous love because it's intrinsic to your anatomy, to your spiritual, psychological, biological anatomy. It's constant. Whatever you do, there's never a divorce. There is never a separation. When Avram is in Canaan, Sarah is his wife. Avram and Sarah are this metaphors, the embodiments of the bride and the groom. Sarah is his wife. But when he comes into Mitzrayim, when he comes in to a corrupt country, when the challenges of Mitzrayim are extended to him, when he struggles with a perverted, distorted, abusive country, which lacks a spiritual energy and vitality, the Ishti doesn't work anymore. Every Jew, to be able to create the spouse relationship with Hashem, you have to recreate yourself as a spiritual human being. You have to have a mind. You have to have a heart. You have to have an environment. You have to learn, study, meditate. Everyone knows there are times you're in the mood of it. There are times you're not in the mood of it. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, you can have the Rayasi. When the Jew enters Mitzrayim, what do? If we would only have the Rayasi dynamic, our spirituality will be compromised. It will dissipate. It can be destroyed. Then you always fall back on family. At the time of a crisis, you go back to family. You go back to your sister. You go back to your brother. When Avram comes to Mitzrayim, that will secure the Jew's life. So the Alter Rebbe says, this is Karav Ma'id. The Derech Arucha is crucial. You can ask the question, why Rayasi? If that's always there, let's keep it there. Let's do that. You can't live with your siblings your whole life. There's something more needed. Because ultimately, every type of love needs the other one. There's still, even when a person is married happily, there is something about family. There's something, there's a certain, you know, for example, honesty. What a sister can tell a brother, no one can tell him. No one can tell him. There's a certain relationship, there's a certain depth, there's a certain energy that cannot be denied. So ultimately, both need both. The contemplative love needs the intrinsic love because you can always rely on it. It never fails you. It's the internal zip drive. Even if your computer goes dead, your soul goes dead, you can always rely on it. It never goes wrong. It will never fail you. It will always be there for you. On the other hand, this latter love also needs the former. You know why? Because the intrinsic love is a quintessential fuse. And it's only the former love, the avavir sichlum, that transfers the energy to all the wires. So the intrinsic love might be deeper, but the contemplative love is vaster. The quintessential love might be eternal, but the contemplative love and awe permeates your personality. As I mentioned, it's a whole person approach. It's a holistic approach. The former love is going back to your subconscious and taking energy from there. By definition, that level of self is overwhelming. The other level is created as a result of contemplation and meditation, it's part of your identity. It's part of your system. They tell the story about a chassid. His name was Reb Nechemya of Dubrovna. He was once walking in Russia. It was during the winter months. If any of you have been to Russia, you know that the coldness in the winter months is indescribable. It's unbearable. He was walking in the streets of the city of St. Petersburg. Petersburg, the capital of Russia at the time, prior to the Bolshevik Revolution, when Moscow became the capital. And he saw a Russian soldier being whipped. What was his crime? His crime was that standing at guard by the Tsar's palace, his feet froze to the floor. Reb Nechemya could not comprehend it. The soldier should receive a medal, a lifelong medal, for not abandoning his post, his position, in the midst of such misery. Anyone would run away to a home. He stood there till his feet froze, and he's being whipped. And the general that's whipping, the officer that's whipping him, is screaming at him. What is he shouting at him? What is he shouting? The oath that you have accepted upon yourself 25 years ago when you were standing in front of the Tsar, that you will serve him loyally, that memory should have warmed you and warned you that your feet should have not frozen to the floor when you were standing securing the Tsar. This is only in Russia. You're familiar with the Russian attitude, the Russian perspective. Reb Nechemya Dubrovna said at the end of his life, observing this story, observing this episode, filled the following 25 years of my life with vitality, with warmth, with energy. My service of Hashem was filled with fire after watching this. If he's telling him that remembering the oath should warm him, when you're ultimately dealing with human, limited, finite, external issues, so how much more so remembering your soul? See, this is connected with the Derech of Perek Yitches. There is the warmth, there is the inspiration created through meditation, through identifying with godliness in an internal way, which is ultimately very important. But then there are the cold nights in St. Petersburg. So that the garnished health and meditation, your animal soul is not interested in meditation. It's interested in actualizing its ugly impulses. What are you going to do then? You have to remember the oath. And that oath can sustain you 40 years later also. What's remembering the oath? Remembering that inherent love. Remembering that supra-conscious relationship that is the deepest element of your consciousness, and that you yourself are ready as a result of it to stare death in the eyes. When you remember that, there is no force in the world that can tear the Jew away from his destiny, from his Jewishness, from his soul. Let's learn inside. Rak. Rak. Tzarich levayir lahaktim tchila. But we must first preface a clear and precise explanation. Be'er heitif. We must first preface a clear and precise explanation of Shoyrish Ahavazu, the origin of this love, the Inyana, and its character, the Eich Yerushalanu. Also, how did this love become our inheritance, the Eich Nichlal Bagam Dechilu, and how is awe also incorporated in it? 4 points. Prior to understanding how the Jew can actually incorporate this dimension into his life and allow him to live in a healthy way, first we must analyze four elements, which he will do in the following chapters. A, the source of the love, the origin. What is the dynamic in the Jew that generates this relationship? What is it? Where does it come from? What is the source? B, inyana. What is the nature of this love? What are its defining features? Every love has a certain form, a certain feature, certain type. What are the character features of this aforementioned love? C, he mentioned that this we have as an inheritance. You can inherit genetic qualities, personality features, and so forth. But if your father has a friend, does that mean who he loves? Does that mean you're going to love him just because you are his child? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov happen to love Hashem. Beautiful, amazing, fantastic. So that's why every Jew till the end of every generation has an inherent love towards Hashem. And finally, D, how does this include also awe? You see, Karev Elecha Adavar Meyed B'fichel V'vav Chadal Terebbe insisted upon not only the feeling of love, also the feeling of awe. Because love is not enough. If you have only love towards Hashem and you have no fear and awe of Hashem, you can sometimes go wrong with that. Because there's ultimately no real discipline. And everything can go. There is a lack of boundaries, of inhibitions, of discipline. There must be introduced also the level of awe. Sometimes in the name of love, dishonesty can be exchanged and presented as passion. And psychological illness can be understood as overwhelming passion and love. Or creates boundaries, it creates discipline, it creates honesty. So Ava and Yira. So when there's contemplated, in the contemplative method, a person can introduce love and awe. But in this method of tuning into your soul, how does the Jew also possess the awe dimension, the distance, the fear, the reverence, the humility? In Chassidus it says, Ava is geshmakir, aber Yira is gesinter. Love is much more delightful, but awe is healthier. So both components are extremely important.
Isaiah said that the Mashiach will have the fear of God and that he will delight in it.
Okay, very good. Va'inyin, the explanation is as follows. The Avos, our forefathers, are truly the chariot of Hashem. This is a quote from the Medrash. Medrash Rabbah, Parshas, Lech Lecha, as well as Medrash Rabbah, Parshas, Vayishlach, tells us, Amir Yish Lakish, Ha Avos, Hein, Hein, Amir Kava, Shenemar, Vayal, Avram, Vayal, Elikim, Ayal, Avram. We know in Parshas Lech Lecha, after Hashem communicated to Avram, Hashem ascended from being above Avram. Why doesn't it say, Vayal Hashem Avram? Hashem ascended from Avram. So Rish Lakish explains this, tells us that Ha'avos Hein Hein Amerkavah, the Avos are the chariot. As the commentators in the Medrash explain, we know what Yecheskel's vision called the vision of the Merkavah, the chariot vision. Not getting into the details, one point is where he envisions a spiritual chariot, a spiritual Merkava. On the chariot, there stands the Kisei HaKavod, the heavenly throne. On the Kisei HaKavod is HaAdam HaElyon Sha'ala Kisei, the supernal man which is on the throne, which is symbolic of the divine reality. Totally in anthropomorphic language, of course. So the fact, so the Rish Lakish says, the Avos are the physical embodiment of the Merkava on earth. The Avos were the Merkava. They were the chariot on which the divine reality dwelled and was present. That's why Vayal Elikim Me'al Avram, Avram being like the Merkava. Not just Vayal Elikim Me'Avram, Me'al Avram, Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov, they were the Merkava, they were the chariot that carried, so to speak, that manifested. the divine presence in the world. Which means, in other words, Dr. Rebbe is saying, telling us here, that Ahava Yisrael and Merkava, that their whole lives, their whole essence, was nothing but a conduit for divine energy. There was no ego whatsoever. Their whole entity, their whole identity was a chariot. It was a chariot that was carrying, that was revealing, that was presenting godliness in the world. V'alkein, therefore, zoch u'lahamshich, nefesh ruach u'neshama libneim achareim ad oila. They merited to draw down for all subsequent generations of their descendants forever a nefesh, ruach u'neshama, the three levels of a spiritual soul, may esis sviris digdush, from the 10 holy spheres. Existing in the four worlds of the world of emanation, creation, formation, and action, to each individual, according to his level, according to his deeds. As a result, the fact that the Avos were a Merkava, they did not only do Hashem's will, but their entire identity, their entire essence, served as a chariot to the divine reality, totally subservient, totally self-abnegated, where their whole identity became an essence of holiness, of godliness. So therefore, they merited to draw down for their every child, eternally, a unique soul, a unique spiritual identity and consciousness, a soul that originates in the holy spheres, in the holy godly projections and emanations operating in the four worlds. Atzilus B'riyah Yetzirah Asiyah, every individual, according to his level, there are various levels of souls within these four worlds itself, and according to his deeds, because even if a person is born with a certain type of soul based on his level, sometimes behavior can solicit and communicate to him with a deeper dimension of soul energy. V'alkol panim. At any rate, afilu l'kal shebekalim apayshi Yisrael, even the most light-headed of light-headed Jews, and even the biggest payshi Yisrael, the most sinful Jews, nimshach b'zivugam, they draw down by their marital union, nefesh de nefesh de malchus d'asiya, at least, I'll call upon him, a nefesh from the level of nefesh, of the level of malchus, of the level of asiya, Shehi Madrega Hatachtaina Shabigdusha Asiya, which this is the lowest level of holiness in the world of Asiya. As mentioned earlier, and should create the physical world initially, but rather there is a whole process of spiritual evolution. Where Hashem projects from himself, so to speak, 10 attributes, 10 major traits and character personalities, and these 10 attributes evolves through four general stages called four worlds. In every stage they become more distant from their source, they materialize more and more until they reach their final destination and incarnation, where they assume a physical identity. So wood, water, fire, tables, and so forth, didn't originate as physical entities, but rather as spiritual identities and energies in the first world, the world of Atzilus. Every plant, every fruit, every phenomenon, every creature, every type of animal, and so forth. It's a fascinating study, by the way. Imagine? The children go to the window and they say, wow, it's snowing. Perhaps it means no school for a few days, if they're lucky, or at least making a snowman, whatever. Then there is the meteorologist who broadcasts the weather and tells you the details, exactly how and what and when and so forth. Then there is the scientist who can not only tell you the weather, but can also explain you the dynamics, the physical dynamics behind the weather. The process that occurs in our world that produces this type of weather. And it's a fascinating study. But then, if you want to know the spiritual dynamics that are occurring, that are producing the weather, one must turn to Pnimiyus HaTorah. So there is a whole literature in Pnimiyus HaTorah, in Chassidus and Kabbalah, that explains the spiritual elements that occur when a snow is happening. Because the descent of a snow doesn't begin in the world of action, it begins in the world of Atzilus. It's snowing in Atzilus. What does it mean it's snowing in Atzilus? So you have to know what the energy behind snow is. Where snow evolves from. Snow comes from Keser. Snow is the superconscious force. Why do people love snow, you know? Why? Everyone becomes like children when it's snow. Remember, when was it? A few years ago, there was a snow that paralyzed the city for 3 days. It resonates. Even us mature adults, so to speak, get excited when there's snow. We love waking up in the morning and seeing this whole world covered with whiteness. It just, children are more honest about their feelings, so they talk about it. Yeah, but what if you don't have to go to work and you still get paid, huh? Then even if it would rain, you would love it, huh? So the pshat is that snow touches a very deep element. In any case, it touches the global origin, the superconscious force. That's why it's white, is the innocence of snow. Also, when the world is covered with snow, I don't know, we got into snow, whatever. I hope. But when the world is covered with snow, it looks much more innocent. It gives us a taste of a better world. It's like the corruption and abuse that humanity introduced into God's holy world is like somewhat diminished. In any case, so there's this process of evolution, beginning with Atzilus, concluding with Asiya. In every one of these worlds, there are many elements. They're worlds. There are the holy spheres. These are the divine projections. So he says, the Aves merited to draw down to every Jewish soul from one of these spheres, either from the highest of the highest, which is Chachma of Atzilus, the first projection in the highest world of emanation, or at least, in any rate, Malchus of Asiya, which is the lowest sphere in the lowest world. Malchus is the 10th attribute. Asiya is the lowest world. Malchus is sovereignty, regality, royalty. That is the lowest sphere, and Asiya is the 4th world. But in any rate, at least it's from Malchus of Asiya. And he emphasizes Nefesh, the Nefesh, because there are the 3 levels, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. Each level consists of the other 2. So there is the Ruach dynamic of Nefesh, and there is the Neshama dynamic of Nefesh. This person might not have that, but at least he has the Nefesh dynamic of Nefesh, of Malchus of Asiya. Let's just learn another few lines. Va'afal pikein, nevertheless, since Malchus is one of the 10 holy spheres, he klulu mikulun. She is compounded of all of the other levels, gami chachma d'asiya, including chachma d'asiya. Which means in kedusha, in holiness, all of the faculties are interrelated with each other. They are not self-contained, because self-contained means that the ego has pervaded you. Separation comes from ego. So in Kedusha, all of the spheres are connected with all the other ones. So Malchus d'Asiya also has the element of Chachma of Asiya, which is the first sphere of Asiya. Shebetoicha, within her Chachma of Asiya, Mulubeshes, is enclosed Chachma de Malchus d'Atzilus. The Chachma existing in Malchus of Atzilus. As the author will explain later in chapter 52, Atzilus has 10 spheres. The final one is the one who contains all the previous 9 and transmits it to the next world, creating the second stage of evolution. So Malchus of Atzilus includes all of the spheres of Atzilus, which is the first world, the world of closeness of emanation, including Chachma of Atzilus. And Malchus d'Atzilus transmits all of those energies to the following worlds. So the Chachma of Atzilus enclosed in Malchus d'Atzilus produces Chachma of Yetzirah. The Bina of Atzilus enclosed in Malchus d'Atzilus produces of Bria. Bria is the next world. Bina of Bria. Das, Chesed, Gvura, and so forth. So ultimately, the Malchus of Atzilus, which has Chachma of Atzilus in it, produces Chachma of Asiya through the evolutionary process of Bria and Yetzirah, the middle 2 worlds. And since Malchus of Atzilus has also Malchus of Asiya, sorry. Malchus of Asiyos has Chachma of Asiyah in it. It has, it's connected to the Chachma which exists in Malchus d'Atzilus. Shebetaycha Chachma d'Atzilus. Within the Malchus of Atzilus, and in the Chachma dimension of the Malchus of Atzilus, exists the Chachma of Atzilus, which is the first sphere, the first projection, Shebam Meir Eirin Seif Baruch Hu Mamash, which in her shines the actual light of Ein Sof of Hashem. Kedeksiv, as it's written, Hashem bechachma yasad eretz, Hashem in His wisdom founded the earth, which means Hashem, the first projection, the primary projection of Him is chachma, and through that He founds the earth. The earth comes from Malchus. Earth comes from Malchus. Which means that chachma is imbued within the Malchus dynamic as well. V'kulam b'chachma sisa, it's further written, in wisdom you have made them all. Which means that chachma is ultimately connected even to Asiyah. So therefore, as he will conclude, that v'nimtza, thus, we understand that Ein Seif Baruch Hu, that Hashem Himself, the Endless One, blessed be He, melubash bebchinnis chachma shebenefesh adam, is garbed in the faculty of chachma in the human soul, yiyeh mi sheyiyeh mi Yisrael. Every single Jew, whatever sort of Jew he may be, he has a soul, and that soul consists of 10 attributes, 10 personality features, traits. The first being chachma, wisdom or conception. And in that level of chachma, Hashem Himself is enclosed and shines through and shines forth within that domain of the Jew. This is something inherent to every single Jew. And as a result of that, there are the unique qualities, the faith and other elements that the Jew experiences, which we will discuss in the continuation of the chapter. Have a good day and a wonderful week.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or albums, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.